Women have been giving birth for centuries, so it's a pretty natural experience, right? Wrong. I'm Stephanie King, professional doula, childbirth educator, and the creator of the My Essential Birth course, the online childbirth education course that's helping women everywhere confidently achieve their best birth. Today's culture would have us think that birth should be treated like an illness or an emergency, and that most of us need other people telling us what's best for our bodies because we aren't the experts. So sit tight, because if you're tuning into this podcast, you'll probably start to believe in your body, your intuition, and find yourself empowered and confident to do what it takes to have the birth of your dreams. If you like listening to me take you through these weekly topics step by step, then you're going to love the My Essential Birth course. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast and definitely head over to myessentialbirth.com for the free downloads mentioned right here in these episodes and to join the birth course and community full of pregnant moms just like you. I have to add a disclaimer that I am not a medical professional and I cannot provide medical advice. All of the information expressed in this podcast are based off of personal, professional, and educational experiences and are my own opinions. Please work with a provider you trust for medical advice during your pregnancy and birth. All right, reviewer of the week is Baby Serrano. Is Serrano a chili? I don't know. Maybe you're a spicy baby. She says, I assume this is a she. See, now I don't know. You guys gotta help me out here. She says, every bit of knowledge makes a difference. This is such an easy to listen to and easy to learn from podcast. Stephanie always brings her joyful self for us, and I leave every podcast having learned something new. I'd recommend to anyone pregnant or working on getting there. Thank you, Spicy Baby. I am so excited that you are following along. I hope you feel some joy as you're listening to this. I'm goofy. I'm quirky. You might be too. I don't know. But let's talk about this week's topic. So this week is all about successful parenting starting with pregnancy. And I really want to kind of dive in and talk about advocacy. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about successful parenting. Probably because if you saw me parenting, you'd be like, that ain't it. But as far as advocating, I feel like I'm getting much better as my babies get older and things. And I think honestly, it started with pregnancy. And it's funny because when I've talked to other women who have like chosen, for example, to have an unmedicated birth, you kind of go through a lot of the same things, a lot of the same pushback, not only from providers, but from family members, from random people in your community who just love to give you opinions on how you should birth your baby. Thank you very much. And I think it kind of it puts you in this place of like, oh, well, first of all, I better know my stuff. So that when I am coming back at them, because you better believe I'm going to have something to say, that I know what I'm talking about. But also, you start to learn to like advocate for yourself, and you build upon that confidence and that strength. And I think, as you know, we kind of have this like mama bear term that we talk about. That is really real, and I think it starts because we're protecting this baby during pregnancy, during this birth process. As soon as they're born, we're like on them, you know, like, what are you doing to my baby? Is that necessary? Do they need that? Tell me the benefits of it. And that transfers into parenthood and how we parent our children. So with that, let's get started on today's episode. I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to be the first or last mom to tell you that you find your voice when it comes to advocating for your baby during pregnancy. I'm pretty sure because I have other mama friends, and that's exactly where it starts. And it is a slippery slope. That is the joke. That's the saying that we use, because this whole, I think I want to go unmedicated, or I think I have to learn a little bit more about birth, or I want my birth to be this certain way, leads into questioning kind of that status quo for everything. So then you're like, well, if the provider doesn't know everything, maybe the school system doesn't know everything. Maybe the government doesn't know everything, right? Like, I'm going to like take this one down the line. But like, seriously, and then we turn into these weird hippie homeschool moms and we all hang out together and have a great time, and you can join us anytime. You can sit with us. But I will say, sometimes being a mom means that you're asking the uncomfortable questions, you're making the hard choices, and you're standing up for yourself no matter the pushback. At the same time, there's the responsibility level on each of those goes up, because as soon as you start pushing back, you've got to accept the responsibility of the consequence of those actions, right? It's not like, well, they said to and I trusted them, so here we are. It's, well, they said to and I said no, so here we are. And I think that's just kind of something to tuck away. You're going to have to strengthen yourself just a little bit as you get going as you're being a mom. But it also means that there's a bunch of new things that maybe never mattered to you before suddenly become super important. And I'll be completely honest here. I'll let you know that I don't know how to be awesomely, is that a word? I don't know. How to be a successful parent, but I have learned to find that voice when it comes to what I'll allow for myself and for my children. And I'll tell you too that it happened over time. I'm not going to pretend that I found my voice in pregnancy and now I'm able to stand up for everything I ever wanted ever. That's not exactly how it happened. I think it was just that first step to getting there. So as you're listening along, I hope that you're going to not only find your voice, but you're going to find some courage too. And I think having someone else to advocate for being a child, right, it brings out, like I talked about, kind of that mama bear, but it just brings out this new part of ourselves and a little more confidence in being willing to kind of step up and feel like we're doing what's right for ourselves and for that baby. And so when I am talking about advocating, maybe you're wondering like, okay, but like, what are you advocating for? Like, be specific. And if you're following along, you know that I talk a lot about your options during pregnancy. And mostly because it has to do with comfort measures and ease of labor for mom. And then the other side of that is going to be what's best for your baby. So those are the start of what we advocate for, right? And I think, too, we're taught a lot, particularly growing up. This is my experience. So I will speak for myself here, but particularly that like doctors are the authority, and there's nothing wrong with that. And some things I really do believe they are the authority, right? Like we have to have people who are educated and smart and do the research and care about other people and you know, have these roles in the community that's important. I do think there's a space for them to be the authority on some things. However, I think too, right? Like we go to them when we're not well, like we're like, we don't know how to fix this thing. So we go to them and they're the authority. Does that make sense? I hope I'm making sense here. And that's true. So we go when we're sick, we need help, we need medication. We don't know how to fix this thing. We broke our arm, we can't set it ourselves, that kind of thing, right? Like we need some help. And I think too, though, that sometimes it takes a wrong diagnosis to decide that we need something else or someone else in the way of a second opinion or a different provider. And so that's what got me thinking about kind of this topic. So I think it took me a long time. I'm one of those people, right? So when I had that cesarean birth as my first experience, I was like, wait a second, what just happened? You know, in my head, all providers practice the same. You go to a doctor, you have a baby, it's all the same. That's not true, but I didn't know that. And so I think as we're growing up, that was kind of my point, is just we're kind of in this place where it's like that person knows more than I do. And I mean, I can't remember my mom ever shopping around for doctors. It was like, this is our doctor, here we are, and that remains the same. So not until we have something that's like, that doesn't seem right, or they said it was this, that this was the problem, but I'm still having the same issues, so that doesn't seem right. It's not until we've got something that has us questioning that information that makes us think, wait, maybe they're not the authority, the total authority on everything. So like I said, it took me a long time to realize that providers practice differently. I think some of it is straight up just preference, right? Like we hear about these old school providers and they just like to practice the way that they've always practiced, the way that they were taught 50, 60 years ago. And that's their choice. And people you can choose to go to them or not. And if you like the way that they practice too, I think that's excellent. And I'm not saying the older providers are not good. In fact, some of them are the best that you will ever find. But I just mean, I think some of it's preference. And so that could be how they were trained or brought up or who they were trained by. So some of it can just be preference. And then the other part is experience, right? What have they seen within their practice? How have they dealt with this situation before? And then we've got the like knowledge and education piece. So this is how they were taught, what they've learned, if they've had any continuing education, what they choose to study next, right? If you've got a provider, if you're like a more holistic person and you go to a provider who like has no interest in learning about I don't know, essential oils or homeopathics or herbs or vitamins, then you guys are probably not going to be on the same page. And that's fine. It's fine that he practices that way and people go to him who like to live that way. And just on the other hand, it's great that you have maybe a more holistic mindset and you like to live that way. And you should have somebody that supports that and is knowledgeable about it as well. So I think a good provider is going to use not only their experience, but their knowledge and education. They're going to ask other providers and seek for further answers. In the case of maybe not having an answer for you, doing their own research. I mean, these are people that genuinely care about what they do. They enjoy what they do. And if they don't, they're happy to, you know, and I don't mean if they don't care about what they do and stuff, but if they don't know, and they just don't have the knowledge for that, but they know somebody that does, they can pass you off to that next person, right? And that's how we end up with people like specialists and you know, other people that we can go to, other providers that maybe can help us a little bit better. But either way, I think they seem like the authority, that more knowledgeable piece. But here's the difference here. I think birth is a touch more different. And parenting is gonna kind of piggyback onto that. But here's the thing about birth, right? It's not an emergency. So usually when we go to a provider, we're like, we're sick. We've got this problem, this thing that's not normal. We need help. And some of that can be true with pregnancy, right? Especially when we come up against complications. But all things aside, like if you are healthy, low risk mama, there's no complications, we still treat it like an emergency, right? Like even when we're in labor and we go to the hospital in the daytime, sometimes you're walking through the emergency room. And so I think it's interesting that we treat it in such a way, even though it's just like totally normal, natural part of life. There are complications that can arise. There should be educated, helpful people around, but how we treat it, I think, is a little bit different. So there's obviously different options. There's different ways that we can approach this. The important part of that is that it should be respected. And I think that there can be a gap. I think that sometimes there can be a gap. Okay. So communication or the knowledge between provider and mom, kind of like I talked about, you know, the doctor that practices very medically and the mom that wants the very holistic lifestyle. And it may leave us in a situation where we do have to advocate for ourselves. And you know that I've talked a million times about that on here. But really, when we're talking about advocacy, this means that you are comfortable, that you can tell someone what you're thinking and feeling. You can stand up for your rights because you know them, which is a super important part of this, that you can ask for what you need or want, and you're ready and willing to make choices for yourself, as well as accept responsibility for those choices. Stressful, right? kind of what I went over before. So I want to go through pregnancy and talk about those things that you might find yourself advocating for. And then I want to move on into motherhood, because that's the little trickier part, I think. However, it starts in the labor and birth process. So your provider, okay? So how do they make you feel? How do they treat you? Can you talk openly with them? Do they listen? Do they address your concerns? You can fire them. All of that is like information and places where you might have to advocate. Now, when we get to the birth plan, this is where a lot of moms are like, this is why we create a birth plan, right? Because we're not always on the same page, and because this isn't how this doctor practices, but I like this and this and this about him, and I'm staying here and I want to make sure that I get these things. And so that's something like your IV, whether you choose to get an IV or a HEPLOCK, if you want to wear your own clothing, if you want to be able to eat and drink during labor, monitoring and medications that you're going to receive, procedures that are going to happen, your postpartum choices that can include things like skin to skin or delayed cord clamping, or if they're going to wash the baby. All of that is stuff that you might have to advocate for. Golden hour, vaccines, everything. On to induction. So before we even get to let's have a baby, you guys know I talk about induction quite a bit, and because I think it's probably, I don't even know if I want to go here, but I think it's next to cesarean birth being a large issue, I think induction is right on par with it. I think we use it inappropriately and a lot and not evidence-based. And I think because a lot of the time, some of the time, everything ends up fine in the way that mom and baby are fine, that we say, well, that must have been a good idea or a good choice. And maybe it was. There's absolutely medically necessary reasons where it's safer to have a baby outside of a body than in. I think it's well overused and I feel like it's growing. But if you know the reasons that you should wait to have an induction, when it's okay to wait, then you can advocate for that. I'm not asking you to be the doctor. You're not asking to be the doctor, but knowing your options makes all the difference. And if you, for example, know, and I've talked about this before, that if your baby's measuring big and they move your due date a couple weeks early, that it's not evidence-based to induce that body to have that baby at that time. If you know that, then you can advocate and say, actually, I would like to wait. If it's an extreme emergency and you're putting your baby in an immense amount of danger, they're not going to allow that. They're going to give you the 10 other reasons why it's not just that one reason and why it's really important that we have this baby soon. So I think having the knowledge is going to be just key. If it's being offered, what questions can you ask? Can you ask, what happens if we wait? Is there immediate danger to my baby? What are the benefits and risks of inducing me right now or early? Are there risks associated with the induction? Spoiler alert, yes, there's risks. There's risk to everything that we do. But when you're talking about induction, like if your goal is like, I definitely don't want to have a cesarean birth, well, don't start with induction because that's like the first intervention to get the ball rolling, right? Allow your body to go into labor on its own, provided everything is okay. I'm obviously talking healthy, low risk here. There's other things that we have to speak up for and advocate for. Let me pause and go back for a moment to, I don't know, the 1950s, doctors weren't allowing dads in the hospital rooms. And in order to get them back in there, people had to call the hospitals and they just started calling over and over again, different people. And they would call and call. And they'd say, I heard that you're allowing fathers in the hospital rooms. Is that true? I'd like to give birth there if that's the case. And, you know, they'd be like, no, of course we're not allowing that. And they were like, oh, okay, I'll go to a different hospital then. Thanks. And they just kept doing this. And they kept calling until they got dads into the hospital. And at first they had to get them in by training them. So they had to say, no, this person is a trained, he knows about birth. He knows about labor. He is trained and prepared to support me during this process, like professionally. That's how they got dads into the labor room. So make no mistake that advocating for yourself is also helping other women. It's the same thing with the birth plan. It's the same thing with like the harmful dyes that are in the glucose test. So they tell us to, you know, be so healthy when we're pregnant and avoid this and avoid that, you know, no mercury, not, you can't have too much mercury, can't have too much tuna, and you probably shouldn't be eating or drinking this beverage. But when it's time to have your glucose test, you need to have this. And it's got dye and it's got high fructose corn syrup and it's got all this stuff that maybe you're really trying to avoid. And we push back and we say, I don't want that. And so what happens? You know, they create a dye-free option. And now there's products coming out that are, you know, where you can like use a packet and pour it into water and it's like healthy whatever sugar. And there's food options, you know, bananas and raisins. And or if you're like, I want dye, but I don't want to take your dye, I'm going to eat these jelly beans. You know, there's all of a sudden we've got some different options. So advocating for yourself is, it's not just for you. You're really supporting the birthing community, other women as a whole, too, when you find your voice. Unmedicated versus medicated, right? You get to choose. You get to advocate for that if it matters to you one way or the other. Vaccines, it's the same thing. You can deny them for you. You can deny them for your baby, or you can choose to get them. And so vaccines that are offered during pregnancy are Tdap and COVID-19 and the whooping cough or pertussis, flu, and then you've got Hep B for the baby. And then after baby's born, there's stuff that you'll have to decide. Do I want this? Do I not? Do I have to push for it? Can I leave it alone? You know, is my hospital baby friendly? And they do everything like skin to skin and delayed cord clamping and all of that, breastfeeding right away. Or are they not baby friendly? And I'm going to have to fight for some of these things like cord clamping and skin to skin. And if I want the erythromycin in my baby's eyes or not, or if I want them to have a bath. So those are all things to be thinking about. And then too, you've got things like breastfeeding, right? After you have your baby, if you choose to breastfeed, if you choose to use formula, if you're having issues, do they recommend formula? Are you going to have to fight and be like, no, like I want to breastfeed. I'm having issues, but I want to breastfeed. Can you help me with this? Do you know how to find an IBCLC or an international board certified lactation consultant? Are you planning on exclusively pumping? These are all things to be thinking about. And then you've got your mental health. So know that you can take medications, reaching out when you need for help or when you need help. And realizing that there's postpartum specialists and other people that can help you. And for some of us who have been to providers and they, you know, don't have a lot of training or whatever in mental health, and you go to ask them, like they give you that, I think it's the EPDS, right? The postpartum depression scale. And you feel like, I clearly remember being in the office with my provider 6 weeks postpartum. I was not doing well. And reading the questions on there, not trusting my provider, like not anyways, and just thinking, I'm not going to answer these the way that I'm feeling right now. Because I think if anything, maybe he would have recommended a pill at best. I don't think he had the skills, in my opinion, to be able to help or treat. And we didn't have a good trusting relationship that way. So that's where we have to advocate for ourselves. Like I had to reach out to somebody else. I had to ask for help. But at the time, truly, I didn't know enough about any of it to know where to turn. So hopefully you'll learn some of that on here. But so all of those are the things that happen to us, right? Pregnancy, labor, birth, prior to having our babies. Then we get into parenting, okay? And I will say it's easier for me to advocate for my little ones than for myself sometimes. Pregnancy started that trend into parenting, and I think we absolutely learn as we go through the process. But I'll give you an example. So with my first baby, and maybe you've heard me share this story. If you're new here, maybe you haven't. With my first baby, after I gave birth to him, now, mind you, we planned to have him circumcised. And so the pediatrician came in to talk to us. And I also had declined the Hep B vaccine. And I had just had a cesarean. So, I mean, this is, maybe it's the next morning after having my baby. Maybe it's the same day in the afternoon, but I'm sore. That was not the experience that I wanted. I'm emotionally defeated. I'm on medication for pain. I'm trying to get this whole, like, I have a new baby thing down. Pediatrician walks in and tells me, just starts going off about how irresponsible it is that I was not vaccinating my baby. And if I chose to do that, that I could not be with their practice, that he would not be my pediatrician. I mean, just kept going. And I was trying to hold it together and just lost it, just like started bawling and then sobbing like uncontrollably. It was just a mix of everything and I couldn't take anymore. And my poor nurse, after he left, came to my rescue and came to my side, and she was rubbing my legs and she's like, it's okay. Like he shouldn't have said that. And you can do whatever you want with your baby. It's your baby. It's totally fine. She was an angel to me. But I sort of researched a pediatrician before having my baby, before having somebody come to me that was going to do a surgical procedure of circumcision on my baby that was also going to give me all this grief. I mean, I was sincerely concerned. My husband went with the baby and they did the circumcision, but I was like, do I want this person performing that on my baby? And then when I went to the next provider, because I had changed providers, pediatricians for him, and I brought him to that provider gave me grief about vaccines. And every time I chose to deny a vaccine that we came to see him for any appointment where it was like, it's his 2 week appointment and his 6 week appointment and whatever those milestone appointments are where they have to come and check on the babies and make sure that they're okay. Every appointment he had me sign a paper saying that I was denying vaccines. And I was just sitting there like, I feel like I'm having a case built on myself, which truthfully is probably exactly what they were doing. They wanted files of all that in case of whatever. I don't know. But like, anyways, it was really upsetting. I didn't have my voice completely yet though. And so same thing, the same pediatrician, mind you, my husband is now in boot camp because my baby's 6 months old. My husband goes to boot camp because he's joining the Air Force. And I am with this pediatrician and he's like, your baby's failure to thrive. Now, my baby was tiny, but he was also active, healthy, smart, meeting all the milestones. He wasn't like lethargic or, you know, discolored or any, like it was, he was fine. So I thought, and then he says, your baby's failure to thrive. And he says, so bad so that you need to take him and put him into a children's hospital. So I did, of course, because I was scared and I thought something's wrong with my baby. Take him to the children's hospital. He's running all around the bed. They look at what he's admitted for. And they also tried to bring me formula. And I said, oh, he, you know, he doesn't drink just formula. He's 6 months old. Maybe he was 7 months old now. And I'm like, he's on. I'm like, do you have something like chicken and rice? And what? And they just looked at me like, what? Your baby eats like chicken and rice? Like, we thought we had a failure to thrive baby here. Like, we're having trouble. And I'm like, yeah, he doesn't really like formula. But like, I nurse. And, you know, can I just nurse? And then they're like, well, we need to see how much he's getting. So let's have you use the hospital pumps. But that wasn't like getting anything out. And then he wouldn't take it from a bottle. Anyways, so lactation comes in, the nutrition comes in, and everyone tells me he's fine. I don't know what the problem is. Like, they went to go put an IV in him. I'm like, well, do you need to? Like, he's, you know, running around and whatever. And they're like, yeah, I don't know that we do. Anyway, so all of this, and I'm like, I should have said no. I should have said no. I know my baby's fine. I know how much he's eating. Like, he's tiny, but so am I. Hello, I'm a midget over here. And I should have stood up for that, but I didn't. And I mean, luckily, right, once I got to the specialist, they were excellent. They were excellent. The nutritionist was like, oh my gosh. And she brought everybody in to see him. And everyone was so nice to him there. And the lactation consultant was like, why do they have you pumping? You know, we're going to weigh your baby before you nurse them. And you're going to weigh your baby after you nurse them. And she's like, oh, he's totally getting enough. And all this. And I'm like, what was this all for? Same provider. My baby gets sick. Don't ask me why I'm still with him. Okay. This is just a couple months here. Same provider, same baby gets sick, little chest cold, no big deal, fever and everything, you know. So of course I take him in, first time mom. I'm like, oh, he's so sick. And he's like, oh, you know, let's hook him up to this breathing machine or whatever. And I'm like, oh gosh, like he must be pretty sick. But then I'm looking at him, I'm like, he doesn't seem super sick. And I come to find out that because of the insurance that we had and everything, anyways, he brought the machine and I remember asking, like, does he need this? And he goes, your insurance will pay for it. And I remember being so taken back by that. Like, what does this have to do with money? Why are we talking about that at all? I asked you if my baby's okay and you just put him on like some steroid asthma medication. For what reason? I have no idea. So luckily we had a pediatrician that was like a friend within our church area or whatever. And I talked to him about all this and he basically said like it was inappropriate and he shouldn't have put him on that. And that's, you know, serious medication for kids that need it. But if he doesn't need it, it's not good for him. And like, get rid of the machine. And just anyways, here's the thing. We have to be our children's advocates, even when it's uncomfortable. And I was unsure, that's true. But when I look back, I'm like, if I would have trusted my intuition on that, knowing my baby was healthy, knowing he didn't need that medication, but I just kept going along because I didn't want to be wrong. And I should have just grabbed a second opinion or something, quite honestly. But I hope that it's a little embarrassing to share truly, but at the same time, I hope that it brings you a little bit of hope and a little bit of strength that says, not only can you be wrong, like it's okay, we make mistakes as moms, but I hope it helps you find your voice too. So I'm also aware that I've had a decent amount of bad experiences with providers, and that's not everyone's experience. I know that some people go to the doctor and they always solve their problems, and I think that's great. That's wonderful if that has been your experience. I will say that mine, it forced me to start researching and asking for help from people who could help, and that included people within the medical community, because I found myself in situations where I knew something wasn't right, but I didn't know how to fix it. And I think it was, you know, just as in pregnancy where I was learning about all this stuff. And it truly happened closer, right? That was my first experience where I didn't have all that information, all that education. And I went into that into parenthood. And then as I, you know, my next pregnancy, and I'm like, that's not going to happen again. I have to advocate for myself. I have to do these things. And I got a little better at it. And that third pregnancy, it was like, yes, I found my voice. I know what I want. I know what I'm willing and unwilling to do. And it's been the same with parenthood. That first pediatrician was not a good one. And I found another one and another one, right? I fired pediatricians. I asked around. I interviewed. And then 3 kids later, you know, I finally found someone that works for me. But you have to decide like what matters to you and find the provider that matches with you. It's the same as your kids as it was for your pregnancy. You know, how do they feel about vaccines? What's their stance on circumcision? How do they feel about breastfeeding and discipline, for Pete's sake? How you discipline your child and their recommendations? Do they have children themselves? It's birth all over again. And so I think it's kind of that birth of a mother and then creating a parenting plan instead of a birth plan. Like I said, it took me 3 kids and all these years, but I love my pediatrician today. You know, he's got 6 kids himself. He gets parenting. He gets kids. He is super knowledgeable. I trust him when he's saying this is what this is, or I think it's this. And the best part is he trusts me and my intuition, and it matters to him and it matters to me. So, I mean, I can come to him and say like, you know, my son's been, you know, having this whatever, but I really think it's this. And he totally takes that into account. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, the two of us figure it out together. And I generally tend to be right because we know our kids. We're with them all day, 24/7. We know what our kids need. We know what's going on with them. And it's the same with our bodies. It's the same with pregnancy. So you can have somebody that's like, here's the textbook. This is what we follow for pregnancy. This is what we follow for 0 through 3 months. But you have, I mean, there is a lot of intuition that goes into understanding our bodies, our babies, and all that. I think overall, like, we love our kids tons, right? As parents, I did not know I could love another little person as much as I love my kids. It is a very different kind of love, and it changes you. You know that if you have children, if you're pregnant right now, you know, it changes you. It changes your outlook on life. It just changes everything. And I think just we're in charge of these sweet little souls, and so much depends on us for their literal survival. And so there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure in that. But I really think the more that we learn, the more that we prepare ourselves to become excellent parents who stand up for our kids, especially like during pregnancy and on to parenthood, the more we're going to find that strength and the more we'll find our voice. So I want you to know that you're not alone and we're all learning together. And I promise you that you are doing better than you think. That's it for this week, but make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that you get notifications first as I drop new episode every week. And don't forget to head over to myessentialbirth.com for all of the free downloads mentioned here and to join the birth course and community serving pregnant moms just like you. If you enjoyed this and other episodes, I would love it if you would take a few minutes to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I read every single one and include one at the beginning of each episode. See you next week.